come, and he's going to share with us a personal word of testimony.
I think I'll take off the coat, it's very warm.
Yep.
Whenever I'm watching online, I see the Reverend Martin taking off the coat, and
I always
know. So, can I thank the Reverend Martin for his kind words of welcome? It is a joy to be here tonight to share a personal word of testimony. We do go back a long way, and there's many a long hole in the golf course that we shared. And you know, I'm sure you know by this time, he's very, very competitive. And whenever we were away in the golf on weekends, well, the last thing he wanted to do was let any of his sons beat him. He was really, really competitive. But we go back a long way, and we've shared lots of fellowship together, and I count him a real true friend. I'm going to... Vivian, thanks for singing that piece, "My Heart is Filled with Thankfulness." You know, I've titled my testimony tonight, "A Thankful Heart." And as the testimony goes on, you'll see for why. I'm going to read at the Psalm 46. Now, Psalm 46 is a great psalm. If you're going through the waters tonight, if you're going through a trial, there's something in your life,
yeah.
Psalm 46 is a great comfort. It was a great comfort to me. It was a great comfort through the years to me. And it says, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will we not fear. Though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams thereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, and that she shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttereth his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge." That's a great verse. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. "Come behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire." Verse 10, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah." Amen. And we know the Lord will bless to us that reading of his word. Just we'll have a quick word of prayer. Father, we thank you for the plan of salvation. We thank you for those who are in the meeting tonight, Lord, who are part of that plan. We thank you for the day you've saved us. And Lord, as we come now to tell what you have done in my life, how you saved me, how you kept me, how you've brought me through this trial, we just pray, Lord, that you will be exalted. Hide me behind the cross tonight, I pray. We pray, Lord, that all glory and honour will be to thee. And we just pray, Lord, if there's one in this meeting tonight and they still know you not as Saviour, before this meeting comes to a close, that they will know conviction of sin and they'll come and put their faith and trust in you. For it's in thy name we ask it. Amen. Amen. Well, as Reverend Martin said, my name is Ivor Buick. I come from Ballymoney. And I had a great privilege growing up. And I know there's people here, I know some of you, I don't know you all, but I know one or two. And I know you have the same privilege that I had of being born into a Christian home. Now, born into a Christian home, I think some people take for granted. But it's one of the blessings from God that we should never take for granted. Young people, thank your parents. If you're brought up in a Christian home, thank the Lord for it. Because your parent has nothing but the best for you. They want nothing but the best for you. So if you're brought up in a Christian home, that is one of the best privileges. I was brought up in a home like that. And from an early age, I was taught the things of God. I was taught that if ever I wanted to get to heaven, I had to come and put my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. I was taught that I was born and I had sin in my life. And if I wanted to get to heaven, I needed that sin dealt with.
Yeah.
And there was only one way that we had to have the sin dealt with, and that was coming by putting our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. We had to turn away from our sin. We had to repent from our sin. because the Lord had done the work for us. He had sent his Son to die on the cross, and he took our sin, our punishment upon him. And through that, I realized at an early age that I needed to come and put my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We were taken along to gospel meetings up throughout the country. Our brother was praying in the prayer meeting earlier about the faith, about the different mission halls up throughout the country. And I thank the Lord for those wee halls. Away years ago when I was growing up in the 70s and 80s, the Lord was blessing. And we were taken along to those mission halls, and it was a blessing. And through that, through godly parents, that I came at a very early age, 9 years of age, to put my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We were living just outside Ballymoney. I was the eldest of a family of three, my mum and dad. I have a younger brother and a younger sister, Alan and Janice. And I remember the night very well up in the old farmhouse. My mum came in to pray with us before she put out the light, and she led me to the Lord that night. I was only 9 years of age. It was simple childlike faith, but I knew that night that I had done the right thing. I knew that the Lord had saved me. He had washed me and he had set me on my way. I was still young, but the Lord can still save the young. You know, how many times do we hear you go on in your Christian life until it comes to high school? And you know, I was no different to anybody else. Whenever I went to high school, I better watch what I say here, because if I say I met bad company, that would be wrong, because Philip's here tonight. First time I met Philip was whenever I was 11. We went to high school together. The two of us started the very same day. And it would be wrong to me to say we got into bad company, for Philip and me were great friends. And but I started running with different people to different places. I stopped reading my Bible. I stopped praying. The things of God became secondary in my life. But to look at me, I was no different. I looked like a Christian. Whenever I went to meetings, I was coming in, my shirt and tie, I was carrying a Bible. And maybe you're in the meeting tonight and you're just going through the motions of a Christian. Maybe you're coming here tonight and you're just playing at it. You're not really enjoying the benefits of a Christian life. My father had a great saying: the only thing that mattered in life was your daily walk with God. How is your walk? Are you walking daily with God? Is your walk just on a Sunday? Or is your walk every day, at work, at school, whatever you may be doing? Is your walk continuous? But mine wasn't. I was just playing at church. I come in, I was going through the motions. Only two things in my, really, two interests in my life that were really important, and that was playing football and motorbike racing. That was the two loves in my life. But it all came to a head when I was 17. When I was 17, the 17th of March, I passed my driving test on the 7th of March, and on the 17th of March, I left my mum to a prayer meeting. She was going to a wee faith mission gospel prayer meeting, and I left her to a prayer meeting. There was a couple of fellas that I was at the tech with at the time. I picked them up, and we were going for a run round the town in Ballymoney. I was coming down the Revellan Road. Philip knows where it's at. There's a bad corner there. And instead of me being in the prayer meeting with my mother, I told her I'd pick her up afterwards. Took the two boys, we're heading down the Brevellan Road, round this bad corner. The car hit the hedge, out over, hit a tree stump. The fellow was in beside me. He went through the front windscreen. I was trapped inside the car. Now, the silence when that accident happened spoke volumes. It was a eerie silence. And it spoke more than anything to me. I realised that night I could have been in eternity. And when I look back through my teenage years, what have I done for the Lord? What have I done for God? Because what he had done for me, I had done nothing for him. And you know, that troubled me. And I knew that night that I wasn't right. I knew that I had to come and rededicate my life to him. And at that particular time, we were just moving to the Free Church. My father had made the decision to take his family to the Free Church. And at that particular time, we were moving there. And it was one Friday night after that, at the youth fellowship afterwards, that the Lord convicted me and I came and I rededicated my life to him. You know, it was the best decision ever I made. time goes on and then we start looking for a girl. And this girl was at the church. I saw her looking at me a couple of times and I thought, no, she'll not. And I thought to myself, I will. I asked her out and surprisingly, she said yes. So I got the biggest shock of my life, for I thought she had no interest in me. But she became my wife later on. So the Lord blessed us with two daughters, Jessica and Lucy. And life was normal, good. We were just going along as normal. I had a job. I'd been selling oil, worked for a company in Belfast. Then I changed jobs to work for a company in Ballymena, and I was selling fuel, domestic fuel, agricultural fuel, industrial lubricants, whatever, all part of that. And so I'm still there after all these years. And you know, we got involved in the church. And if you're a Christian tonight, it's a great thing to be involved in the church. The Lord gave me an interest to be involved in children's work. And we were involved in the children's work for some years. And then, as time went on, we were voted in to the committee. And I don't know how this worked, but now I'm the treasurer. And honestly, Colin, how does it happen? But maybe nobody else wants the job, I don't know. But the Lord, you know, we're doing it all for the Lord. And we thank the Lord for what we can do for him. Now, as time went on, roll on to 2011, something happened in our life. My mum passed away pretty sudden. That was a big thing in the family. You know, the Reverend Morrow came to visit us as a family then, and he says, you know, the husband is the head of the home, but the mother is the hub of the home. And that's true, so true. The mother is the hub of the home. And we found that. And it was a big thing when my mum passed away. 2021, my dad had a massive stroke. We sat with him for a week. And why did I read Psalm 46? On the 15th of March, I went in. And the Reverend Parker Old Minister met me and he says, I want to come in to see your dad. Things were really bad. We were sitting with him. And the thing I always do is give the minister his place. I always respect our pastor. And normally I would say, do you mind, would you read a portion? Would you read a wee bit? But for some reason that day I says, Mr. Park, do you mind if I read? No, go ahead. No, it's go ahead. So I read Psalm 23. I read Psalm 46. And I read right down to verse 10. My dad's breathing was getting very shallow. And as I read the words, be still and know that I am God, he just slipped into eternity. Breathing stopped. There was a presence in that room that I will never forget. God was speaking through his word because he said, be still and know that I am God. And you know, that verse meant more than anything to me. And what I went through, I was able to experience that stillness and knowing that God was with me. And that's why I read that psalm. You know, Jessica had got married. She had three lovely children. And at this point, I'm going to have to, Jessica's listening in tonight. She now has four. She had a wee boy yesterday, and she's listening in tonight from the hospital. But life goes on, and I thought I was fit and healthy, which I was. A couple of years ago at this time, I was 56 years of age. I had been playing football most of my life, tried to play golf, wasn't all that good at it. But I was getting a tightness in my chest whenever I was playing football. Wee bit short of breath, thought nothing of it. I just thought it was an age thing. Whenever you come to my age, you do slow down. Whenever you're playing football, you young boys will know the first yards in your head. Whenever you come here, you're not just as fit as you were. So I thought, well, I better go and see about it. So I went to the doctor. Actually, I went to the doctor with a bad stomach, and he put me on a stomach tablet, and we just got talking. My doctor's a Christian. We just got talking. He says, how you are generally? I says, are you still playing football? I says, no, I had to pack it in a couple of months ago. Why? Told him the story. He says, I'm going to send you for some tests. So he sent me for an ECG, didn't show anything. Sent me for a treadmill test that showed something. So then I got word in, I want you to have a dye test. Now, the dye test was penciled in for the 26th of August, 2022, just a year and a half ago. Now, that day was a big day in our family's life because Lucy, youngest girl, as some of you know Lucy had met Peter just the year previously, Peter Craig, and I never knew Peter Craig. I'd heard about him, and Lucy was bringing Peter home, and we were extremely happy when we met Peter. Peter was a good fella, and we were really happy. Lucy had got just engaged a couple of months before that, and Peter had accepted the call and was being installed in Grange Baptist Church that night. So we got up in the morning. Sylvia dropped me off at Alton Galvin Hospital for a dye test. I was first in the list at 8. I went there. There was a couple of other people taken before me. And the only thing was in my head, if I have a dye test, I have to wait. I have to lie 4 hours before I'm allowed out. So I was keep looking at the watch, keep looking at the clock. And as time went on, I'm not going to make this. I'm not going to make the Grange. I'm not going to make the Grange. Philip rang me a couple of times, and he says, are you away yet? And I says, no, I'm not away yet. And later on, he rang me again. Are you away yet? No, well, I have a plan. Philip always has a plan. Philip's plan was, tell Jessica, or tell Sylvia and Lucy to go to the Grange. I'll go to your house. I'll lift your suit. I'll lift you after the dye test, and you can change in the car, and we'll get there in time. I says, good, that's a good idea. That was the plan. But God's ways are not our ways. Three o'clock that afternoon, I was wheeled in to the lab for the dye test. And they started the procedure. And I know, I'm sure in a congregation this size, there's people in here, and many of you probably had a dye test, heart tests. Maybe you have. There's somebody that's just back there tonight from having a heart attack. And this is my story, but at the minute, the more people I'm talking to, the more heart disease there seems to be. But 3 o'clock, I was wheeled in. I had the dye test, and I was lying. And I couldn't believe what I was hearing, because I had been fit, I'd been healthy, hadn't been carrying any weight. And the doctor comes up to me, and he says, you're critical. And I thought, are you reading somebody else's notes? You're critical. And he says, well, we will explain it to you. So they wheeled the screen up, this screen, and the line was still in. He says, your left anterior descending artery, the one as the LAD, for those of you who are medically minded, is completely blocked. Now, that's the largest coronary artery carries about 50% of blood to the heart, with two sets of branches heading off it to feed other arteries. And if you take a heart attack with that artery, there's only 6% come through it. So I was told that day that it was inevitable I would have a heart attack because it was so badly blocked, and I probably wouldn't survive it. So lying on a bed, can't wait till you get out at night to the Grange for the installation, to lying to hear that word, you probably won't make it. The first thing came into my head, be still and know that I am God. Amen. God was ministering while I was lying there, going through that. Was it hard to take? Yes, it was hard to take. And being a Christian, we're ready. I was ready to die because the Lord had saved me. I had asked the Lord into my life earlier, and I was just lying there. I was ready to die. Did I want to die? Not then, no. Because I had a wife, and we had hopefully plenty of days before us. I had two daughters. I had a son-in-law, and about to have another son-in-law. Lucy was getting married in the following June. I wanted to walk her up the aisle. I had three lovely grandchildren then. But my ways are not his ways. If it was to be that I wouldn't make it, I was going to be happy. It's what I was going to be leaving behind. That really, really spoke to me. There's a verse came to mind, Isaiah 41, verse 10, as I was lying in that bed. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. That's the promise. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right arm of my righteousness. And you know, I was wheeled out of there, back into the ward. Sylvia came up at night. Just before she came in, a consultant came in, and he said to me, he explained again what had happened and how critical I was. And it was probably only if I hadn't been in, I wouldn't have gotten time. And if I hadn't been, I probably wouldn't have made it. And he said, it's what we call the widowmaker. That artery is the widowmaker. And he says, don't tell your wife. So the first thing when Sylvia come in, what's the first thing you do? Sylvia, Google widowmaker. And I wish she hadn't Googled widowmaker because it was scary. So I was in Altnagelvin for a week. The decision was made to have on the Tuesday for open heart surgery, ASAP. I had been on a blood thinner. I had to be off it for 7 days, or I'd have had the operation sooner. But I lay there. I wasn't allowed any exercise. Every morning, whenever I went to the shower, I had to buzz the nurse. She came in, and she stood at the door in case I went down in the shower. That's how serious it was. I asked, could I not be transferred back to Causeway Hospital to wait for the open heart surgery? No, because if you have an episode in Causeway Hospital, you won't make it to Altnagelvin. As simple as that. So it was a long week, but I really experienced something that week I will never forget. The Lord drew really, really close. I've never prayed as much. I have never read as much. Messages I was getting, the Lord spoke to me, and that verse kept coming back to me. Be still and know that I am God. There was one night, I think it was the Wednesday night, I was suffering a lot of pain, and I had to buzz the nurse. She came in after 4 o'clock. She gave me pain relief. And I thought, is this it? Because earlier on that day, the consultant, or the surgeon who was doing my operation, I had a FaceTime call. Well, it was a Zoom call through the computer, and he was explaining to me the operation. And the words he said was at the end, have you any questions or have you any worries? And I says, the only worry I have is not seeing next Tuesday if you're penciling me in for next Tuesday. And the words were, in life there's no guarantees. And in some ways he's right. And in some ways he's wrong. Because in life there is guarantees. There's a guarantee that when you're washed in the blood, when God is in your control of your life, and when you die with God in your life, you will go to heaven. That's a guarantee. If you're in the meeting tonight and you're saved and you're sanctified and you're walking with God, if you tonight have a heart attack and you go out like a light, the guarantee is that you will be in heaven. And I know where he was coming from. He said he had no guarantees. But that night, whenever I was suffering the pain, I got a text the next morning. Ivor, how are you? From a person in our church. And I says, funny, I had a bad night. I had 4 o'clock in the morning. I had to get pain relief because I was suffering. The pain was bad. And that person said, funny you should say that. I tossed and turned all night. I got up at 4:30 and I was praying for you. Be still and know that I am God. God was in total control. The next day, the Friday, I was taken up to the Royal, put into the private ward, and I was going through the tests for the open heart surgery on the Tuesday morning, first thing. And my minister, Mr. Park, had been sending me verses. He came to see me. People from the church were sending verses. Friends were praying. They were praying everywhere. Your minister was texting me. He was sending me verses. Pastor Dennis Lyle rang me that weekend, and he says, Ivor, when your mortality is staring you in the face, reality sets in. Think about that. When your mortality is staring you in the face, reality sets in. And he says, can you picture a ploughman out ploughing, two hands and the fur? He says, and God, you're controlling it. And he says, it gets out of control. He says, you lift your hands off the plough. Hand it over. Let God take control. And he says, you do the very same here. He says, you lift your hands off this experience. You hand it all to God. God will come in. God will take control. And I did. I proved that. There was a peace in my heart. The Sunday morning before the operation, our early morning prayer meeting, Mr. Park texts me. He says, your brethren are praying for you here. He says, is there anything you want to say? How do you feel? Well, I felt a calmness. I was going in for life-saving open heart surgery, but I felt a calmness. And I opened my Bible that morning, and there's the verse. The first verse that I read was, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. That's amazing. God was ministering at the very point of the need. Whenever I needed it, I got it. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And you know, the morning of the operation, it was funny too, because I was up early, 6 o'clock. I had my reading done, and I was heading. I had my shower, and I was lying in bed with the gear on, ready for down. The porter comes in, and he shouts, Ivor Buick, theatre. This wee nurse, she says, that's him there with his bonnet on, he's ready to roll. So they were pushing me down the corridor, and you know, I was heading that day for open heart surgery. The fellow who was pushing the trolley and the nurse that went along with them, they were talking about when their break was, they were talking about what day they were off, they were talking, are you off? No, I'll be back on Thursday again, but I'm filling in for somebody else. And I thought, that is reality. That's life. That was their job. I was going down in for, as far as I was concerned, that was just me I was interested in that day. But there was more than me there, and everybody was just carrying on with their job. And I went down, and this is how God works. They set me down in, just outside the theatre door. They had to get this ring off, and it was very hard to get off. As they went to get gel or whatever it was, this man came over. He was his scrubs on, he had his mask on, and he came over to me and he shook my hand. He introduced himself. He says, Ivor, you don't know me. I know your daughter, your two daughters. I know Jessica and I know Lucy. And he says, we've been praying for you in the Grange. Amen. He was the perfusionist, and he was going to be working the apparatus that kept my heart pumping throughout the open heart surgery. God had placed him there. And the first verse that came into my head, lion, and that trolley, be still and know that I am God. I am in control. God has sent his man there. And I was still uptight, and I went into that theatre thinking, what an awesome God we have. What an awesome God that we have that would send somebody who is saved right into the operation that I was about to have. You know, the Lord brought me through that surgery. He brought me through the rehab, and to him be all the glory. I don't want you to stand here and take any glory for it's nothing. It's nothing of me. It's all of him. He deserves all the glory, all the honour, all the praise. You know, Christmas Day, not past the year before, and on the 10th of January 2023, I had a couple of wee TIAs, wee mini strokes, an artery here as well that is partially blocked, still partially blocked. They're treating it with medication. I was just thinking actually last night, I have a son-in-law who's a farmer, and if he had a cow with as many artery problems and as many problems as I had, he would have it at WD Meats down at the Arbiter to get it put down. But thankfully, we have a better healer than that, the Lord Jesus Christ. Why am I here today? I don't know. Why has he left me here, brought me here? I don't know. He is in total control. I entitled this testimony, A Thankful Heart. Thankful, my heart is thankful in two ways. Thankful physically that my heart is working. Thankful spiritually that I am saved, that he has cleansed me, he has redeemed me, and I'm on my way to heaven. Can I ask you, how is your heart? How is your heart? Have you a thankful heart? Have you a thankful heart because the Lord has saved you, what he has done for you? Or have you a heavy heart? Have you a heavy heart? Maybe you're going through a trial. And you know, we will all go through trials. Maybe you're going through a trial right now. Maybe you have been going through a trial. And if not, it's only a matter of time before you will be going through a trial, because we all will go through a trial. and it's how we deal with it. And if you are saved and you love the Lord, with what's the wee chorus we used to sing, with Christ in the vessel, we can smile at the storm. And that was so true. Or maybe you're in the meeting tonight and you have a bitter heart. You have a bitter heart because you don't like the gospel. Can I urge you tonight to come and put your faith and trust in him? You know, I was opened from there to there. I was peeled back. I don't know what they'd done while I was there. I've never watched the thing online. But you know this, it's only a scratch. It's only a small scratch compared with what Christ suffered for us. The Bible tells us he was marred more than any man. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. And the chastisement of his peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. We know nothing of what Christ suffered for us. But he did it for you and he did it for me. And what we have done for him, it's nothing compared to what he'd done for us. You know, spiritually, at the age of 9 years of age, I was gotten time whenever I was saved. Physically, a year and a half ago, I was gotten time. You know, this week, I was thinking about time. And there's a hymn that came into my head this week. Life at best is very brief, like the falling of a leaf, like the binding of a sheaf, be in time. Fleeting days are telling fast that the die will soon be cast and the fatal line be passed, be in time. Sinner, if you're in the meeting tonight and you're not saved, you don't know how long you'll have. You don't know how long you'll have. You have a widow maker in your heart. If that was blocked tonight, and that was inevitable, you had a heart attack, and you possibly would not survive it, where would you be? If you're unsaved tonight, the Bible tells you where you would be. You would be in a Christless eternity. You would be in hell. You need tonight to come and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. Genesis says in Genesis, my spirit shall not always strive with man. I'm probably over my time. One story before I go. This is the 28th of January. 28th of December passed. I have a good friend. He was at home 11:30 on the Thursday night. The knock came to his door. He went to the door. He looked out. The police car was reversed in his drive. And he knew there was something wrong. He opened the door. The policeman said, there's been an accident. Your daughter has been involved in an accident. Can you come with us to the hospital? They went down to the Causeway Hospital. He has a daughter of 21. They were taken into a room and they were told there's nothing more we can do. She had been in a car accident. She was picked up from her work and she was heading up the Curra Road near Coleraine when she was involved in a car crash. She was kept alive until the family were able to say their goodbyes. 21 years of age. Young people, there's no guarantees. Yeah. No guarantees in life. 21 years of age. What are you doing with your life? Are you saved? Are you going to heaven? You know, my story, the ending of my story could have been a whole lot different. But for some reason, God gave me another chance. Maybe why he did that was to come tonight to tell you your need to be saved. Maybe it was to encourage the Christians. I don't know. But sinner, if you're in the meeting tonight, Heed the warning voice. Make the Lord your final choice. Then all heaven will rejoice. Be in time. Thank you for listening.
I just take this opportunity to say a word of personal thanks to our brother Ivor for coming and sharing his testimony, and just to thank our brother sincerely for being so open and honest and sharing with us some things that are very personal. We remember that whole occasion. We shared it with him in spirit, even though we weren't present in this congregation. We prayed Sunday after Sunday in our Tuesday night prayer meetings at home. And we text, we kept informed of progress, and we're thankful to the Lord that he did save his servant, and we mean physically. Things could have been so different, and you think about that. And I'm sure Ivor needed to testify tonight. He needed to give God the glory. He needed to share that, what the Lord had done for his heart and for his soul. And he has entitled it, A Thankful Heart, and how true that is. He is so grateful that God has spared him. And you know, it does cause us and make us think about our own mortality, because we must all needs die, and we are as water that's spilt on the ground that cannot be gathered up again. And death is so final. It's so final, friends. And maybe tonight you didn't come here to listen to something morbid, but we're talking about reality, and death is coming, and you've got to be ready, you've got to be prepared. Ivor could face, even at 17 years of age, in that silence and that car crash, things could have been different. 17. He could have been taken out into God's eternity. But he was ready to go. That's the most important thing in life. He was prepared to meet the Lord. And he was saved. His sins were forgiven him. He had peace with God. He had eternal life. And if God had taken him home at 17, he would have been in heaven with Christ. Far better. And at 56 years of age, having experienced many things in life, ups and downs of the Christian life, God brought him to a point where he had to face again his mortality and the reality of death. 6%, I think he mentioned, chance if someone in that condition has a heart attack of survival. And then the skill of the surgeon and the intervention of God through prayer. But Ivor could face even that operation, knowing if he didn't wake up on the operating theatre, that he would be with Christ, which is far better. And I wonder tonight, as Ivor has challenged you, and I believe God has spurred him for that reason, in the providence of God, he's here, alive, to tell you that he was ready, and to warn you to be ready. And the only way you can get ready is by coming as a sinner to the Lord Jesus Christ, repenting of your sin and believing with all your heart that he died on the cross for your sins. He shed his blood. He suffered. He rose again. He finished the work. And all you've got to do tonight is come and repent. Turn from your sin and receive by faith. Ask him into your heart, the Lord Jesus Christ, as your own and personal Savior. Thank Ivor very much indeed. We do mean that. We thoroughly enjoyed that. It has touched our hearts. And we are, like Ivor, filled with thankfulness tonight for the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. May God spur him for many, many years to come to minister for the Lord and to do a work for Christ.